Of all the strange and wonderful landmarks in the Red City of Agmar, no natural feature is as iconic or wondrous as the Waveless Lake. Those that visit it for the first time report disorientation and feelings of unease. Boats cruise across its surface with nary a ripple. Mortal minds often struggle with the audio and visual silence that was created by a saintly miracle centuries earlier. However, many believe the strangeness of the lake also includes, or even emanates, from the island at the center of this one-of-a-kind marvel. Many hold it as a holy site to be revered and not visited in folly. More believe that bad luck or spirits inhabit the island, set to trick and harass the wicked, and those who have not offered proper respect to the gods. Most know it's been well combed over and holds nothing of particular interest. But whether it is out of respect for the saint's work or superstitious caution, very few residents of Agmar ever visit the island. Everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Welcome once more to Reckless Attack, a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. I am, as always, your GM, Nathan. So excited to be around the table here with all of the lovely players here at Reckless Attack. We were debating how to start this episode.
Yeah.
And I just decided to start yelling.
Yeah. Right. Wow. Always a solution.
Yeah.
To my right is...
Hi, everyone. My name is Steve, and today I will be playing not Selvasterlin, the Dragonborn Monk.
Yep. Okay.
Curious.
Seems normal.
And the person who will not be playing their character to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm David. Just David today.
My brain was literally like, I'm Casper Brightman.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I was just ready for
It is too intrinsically linked.
And I, David the Human, have made the extremely powerful decision to take a 6 p.m. nap.
Ooh.
I don't know if you decided.
Or if my body forced me to take a 6 p.m. nap.
Something so, decided.
We'll see how later David deals with the ramifications of that.
Well, you're going to be super hyped for this session
extremely
of Dungeons & Dragons.
Yes, I'm perfectly rested up and...
firing on all cylinders.
I only have one cylinder.
Yeah. Yep, a V1 engine.
And to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jonathan, and I play Checkers, the Grung Druid, and his trusty frog pals, Mango and Junior. And Checkers has recently discovered the joys of parenting.
Oh, no.
And end of intro.
Yeah. Tell me more. Go on.
We'll continue that conversation later after we talk to the person on my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie, and I am not playing Wes Carter, the human astral cleric, the condom demand.
Thank God. Honestly, that was really stressful for me. Like, something in my brain was like, everyone just stopped. What my brain perceived that, other than Jonathan, was everyone stopped talking.
Yeah.
And it was, like, awkward, and it's like, oh, God, is something bad happening?
Do I have something in my teeth?
Like, right. They didn't say the full character name. Oh, God, what's happening? There are fiction reasons why we did not say, other than Jonathan, our full usual character names. Because we start today's episode hearing peals of laughter echoing across a very still lake. Today is a sunny day here in the Red City of Agmar, and sunny days are perfect for group outings. An adventurous, would it be, I guess, cinctet? Is that how you pentet? 5 individuals, including a large fat frog, have found themselves at the Waveless Lake looking for a bit of harmless adventure. Checkers,
Yes.
Could you please set the scene for what is unfolding here on this lovely, very peaceful, normal day just on the outskirts of the Red City of Agmar?
So, as everyone knows, Checkers has been sentenced to community service.
Mm-hmm.
And on this particular day, he has a number of helpers with him. And they have spent the morning hard at work helping various people around the city, and now it is time for a little fun. So we are all in the process of heading over to Checker's secret hideout, the island in the center of the Waveless Lake, and we are getting there in style. What Checker's has done is he has cast a spell, a very magical spell.
Aren't they all?
Yes. Called Water Walk. And rather than being on the beach by the docks, Checkers and the three kids actually find themselves standing, walking, running even, on top of the smooth, glassy surface of the Waveless Lake.
Wow, Mr. Frog, look at all the fish in the lake.
And James is just looking down, holding your hand, like looking through this glassy surface into the lake below.
It's so colorful in here.
I'm sorry, David. Could you please remind us all who this sweet, precious child who is looking down into the depths of the very safe, very normal lake below him?
James is a small, square dwarf child who has been sent to help the city by his grandfather. We told him he needed to put on some character, build a little backbone.
Mm-hmm.
He comes up to probably Checker's chest, and as he's holding your hand, he looks at you with his soft eyes and his bowl cut.
I forget, did we decide, is he bearded?
I think so.
I said he had a bowl cut.
I remember
and
a bowl cut.
Yeah,
I
thought
he maybe had a very small beard.
And a beard. And he says, "This is so cool, Mr. Frog. I've never seen anything like this before. It's like a magical wonderland in there."
And that's how James starts becoming on his marine biologist.
Yeah.
Just like everyone who goes to California for college.
Amid kind of some small peals of laughter is a relatively simply, plainly dressed goblin child. He's actually has reached into one of his pockets and has brought out a small jar, and it looks like there's some kind of paint inside there, and he dips his fingers into the paint and then reaches down to paint something on the surface of the water.
Dag, what are you doing?
I was trying to see if I can put something on the surface of the water and have it stay.
Guys, we don't have time for that. We got a motor. Let's go. Checker said there's something cool on the island, and we are walking on water. We should be running on water.
This is a fair point.
That seems unsafe.
Thea exclaims this as you see a probably the tallest person of this group.
You guys
as
really
like a
like
lanky,
short character.
Short, tiny character.
Oh, we're just gonna do like
I went from the tallest character to probably the shortest character.
No way. James is definitely the shortest.
We're just going to do
you
like
can't
the
beat a baby
life,
dwarf.
campaign next time. We're all just continuing to be very small.
Mm-hmm.
But Thea is a small. I think I decided she was elven of some kind. I don't know. We'll go with that.
She wears a hat a lot, so it makes it a little bit hard to tell.
You can't tell. Hat and braided pigtails. And she is really trying to get somebody to race her while she runs on water.
And Checkers is more than happy to oblige as he sees the pent-up energy in Thea as she starts rushing towards the island and is just like, Fish, you want to go?
I feel like that happens. Thea bolts off, and then you are stuck because there is an anchor holding your hand.
Oh, yeah, I got to pick up James. James, come on.
I'm still here, Mr. Frog.
James weighs 240 pounds.
I don't know.
Dwarf children are one of the. They are actually born at this and stay the same weight their entire lives.
They are boulders that have been squished down to a child.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Dag just suddenly exclaims, I'm going to beat all of you! And takes off after after Thea.
And as the group of you guys run across this lake, for anyone who is watching, it is a very strange sight because none of you are kicking up any water. It is very glassy, and there is still kind of just a tiny bit of splash and give for you guys, but there's no kick up of any water. It is as if your feet just make perfect indents as you go. All around you, as James already noticed, is you can see there's tons of activity underneath you. There are every kind of creature all underneath you, and it is teeming, despite the fact that you guys know that this place is fished constantly. This is where tons of food comes from for the Red City, and yet this seems like it hasn't been touched. And you guys just go screaming across it.
So it is very important to me to figure out who wins this race.
Okay.
You are weighed down by a
checker. Yeah, right. Yeah, Checkers is, you know, pretty good at running, but carrying James is going to be a little tough.
Let's have everyone roll a d20. I think that's very wise. I think Checkers should roll with disadvantage.
Okay,
No. I'm going to roll a d20, and you're going to subtract.
No, we'll take the lower
okay.
of the two.
Okay. That makes sense. Right.
Oh, ha! Man.
James rolled a 3.
Dang. I got a 6, so that much better.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Dag with a 5.
Oh, no.
With a 4. I feel like this is actually works out well because we are children.
Yeah, that's true.
And I would say none of you, at least from my understanding or visual of your characters, are like, ah, yes, the jock of the group.
Yeah, yeah.
None of you. It's like
no clear winners.
No, Mango has been standing on the shore for a good like 45 seconds, just like not having, like is not even breathing hard, nothing, and just like turns back and just.
I actually would love it if it's like Checkers is trying to drag James, and then all of a sudden James is like, oh man, but look at this. Insert whatever creature you want.
Look at this coral.
And then Thea's like, wait, what? And then Dag's the last one to turn around and be like, wait, what? Actually, and that's how the race ends.
I also had this image of like Dag slipping and falling. And so he just kind of like slides to the island. And like that. Yeah. And that's how he wins, but he misses out on whatever it's.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And all of this is done with, you know, adequate levels, if not overflowing levels of childhood mirth and adventure. And you guys all collapse on the, I guess, the kind of the far shore of the Waveless Lake, or at least the one in the middle on the island. Breath kind of panting a little bit, giggling.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys find yourself in a place that maybe some of you have been told never to go to, or have heard rumors about, or just have always been curious around. The island in the middle of the Waveless Lake.
Mr. Frog, my mom tells me that this place has spirits on it. Is that true?
Well, I don't know about spirits, but my good friend Val once told me that this island used to have something to do with a saint. She was actually telling me about the similarities between this lake and a lake that she has in the city of Rakma. So I don't think it's anything to do with spirits specifically, but I think it's something to do with one of the saints.
Whoa, there's more than one of these lakes?
Yeah, I guess Rixia just has a whole bunch of weird-looking lakes.
Are they, like, all connected in some way? Like, could we swim from this lake to the other lake?
Probably. All right, kids, get up. I've got a mission for you now that we're here at my secret hideout.
Ooh!
Oh, why are you sad?
I feel like it's a better question to ask and notice when James isn't sad.
Yeah,
it's like, James,
that's
why
true.
Are you so happy? Yeah. What an interesting change.
Mm-hmm. And Checkers is really going to play this up a little bit for the kids, because what he says is,
this may be a secret hideout, but there's plenty of stuff on this island that hasn't been explored. So it's a perfect training ground for new adventurers like yourself.
Awesome.
Now, for your first mission. And Checkers reaches into a pouch and pulls out a bundle of plants. This is a medicinal herb. We use it sometimes to help with swelling and all kinds of other stuff. Your first mission, should you choose to accept it.
I do. I'm in.
I need the three of you to go out there and find as many of these plants as you can and bring them back here. Get back here in the next 30 minutes, and the person who brings back the most will get a very special prize from me.
What's the prize?
Oh, you'll see. It's very special.
Okay, ready, set, go. And Thea runs off into the woods.
No, wait! And I will take off basically at like a 45-degree angle from wherever Thea went.
Bye, Mr. Frog. Bye, Mr. Frog, as he looks at Mango. Mm-hmm. We'll be back soon.
And he just ambles off.
Yeah, just like a meandering pace into the forest.
You know James is coming back with the most.
Yes.
First, this island is, you know, not super large. You know, it's not like, there's a secret city hidden here or anything like that. But it is easily at least a city block, probably, maybe even bigger. So it actually is quite a bit of real estate on it. And what's more, because not a lot of people come here, this place is fairly overgrown in addition to being pretty large. So it doesn't take the three of you all that long to get, I won't say lost, because you're never too far away from a coastline. Mm-hmm. And you all being savvy Agmar dwellers have a little bit of just survival skills because you live in a post-apocalypse. But it is very easy to suddenly find yourself alone. What is something interesting that you find on this island? Or what is a maybe rumor, maybe detail about this place that pops into your head as you are going around that you are either very excited for or very nervous about?
As Dag is walking kind of in a straight line away from the beach that they were on, and he's kind of looking around, once he gets about 60 or 70 feet in, he does see something up in the tree that is pretty interesting. It looks a lot like the plant that Checkers had showed them, but maybe a little dried out, like it's a little bit older. And so he starts climbing up, and when he gets up there, he realizes that it's a nest. Currently, no eggs in it, no birds around that at least that Dag can see. So he decides that because Checkers did not specify freshly picked plants, his best chance at winning is to bring back this nest.
Whoever's editing this episode, I am going to ask if at all possible, and this may be too far out the scope of what we have access to, but in this moment, I would ask that you play, and you could please keep in all of this description in the episode, please play the call of a pelican.
Okay. Cool.
Oh, no.
Because, Dag, as you are wrestling this nest and just trying to budge it out, essentially, you get it rocking, get it moving, and just as you're kind of giving it one big shove to push it off, you see a shadow above you. And this, I guess I can't really describe what this sounds like. You, dear listener, will have a better idea of what a pelican sounds like after this plays, hypothetically. But you hear a bird cry and catch you off guard. Roll me a dexterity saving throw, please.
Ooh, so I don't quite know what...
Yeah, just roll a d20.
14 on the die.
Nice.
You are able to, in midair, twist the nest underneath yourself and land on it as a lightly, you know, kind of pokey, but still effective cushion.
And Checkers has been hiding in the bushes this whole time, watching Dag, just keeping an eye on him. And he decides, you know, Dag almost got eaten by a giant bird and did not do anything to help him. Just watched him and was like, yeah, this is an acceptable risk.
Just recently, you almost got eaten by a giant bird. Right. In fact, several times across the course of your adventuring career, you've almost gotten eaten by a giant bird. And this is a very important learning do or get maimed kind of situation.
Correct.
Everyone needs some kind of avian arch nemesis.
Yes.
Thea, in her excitement, just started running and is, I think, more excited about running through the woods in this strange and, in her mind, forbidden place. She's really not keeping an eye out for plants too much. She's just enjoying the moment. And she finds that she has, like, run to another shore. And she stops dead in her tracks and, like, drops to the dirt because she swears she's just seen a monster on the shore. And she's like, oh, no. Oh, no. Okay. I am a beginner adventurer. I can take a look. And she peeks around the bush she's hidden behind and realizes that it's not a monster, but the skeleton of a monster.
Ooh.
Listeners, I don't know if you've seen, like, whale bones wash on shore, but also, as a Wisconsinite, I'm imagining this more as a lake sturgeon.
Yes, huh. Cool. But I was worried you were about to say, as a Wisconsinite, I've seen a lot of whale carcasses washing up. Yeah.
But lake sturgeon are like a fish that never stops growing. Like the river ones in the Amazon are terrifyingly large.
Huge. Mm.
So it almost probably looks like a snake skeleton. And it looks pretty well intact. Okay, and just like cool. it at first glance, you would think it is like some type of fish or something. And she goes up to explore it a bit more and like very carefully because she's like, this could actually eat me. She's a child. She's like, I gotta be careful. And she'll go up and explore. And I think instead of bringing back any plants, she's brought back like 4 spines. Like almost like a quill of a porcupine. And on the way back, if she finds the plants, she'll grab those too. But she's gotta tell the group about this sweet, sweet fish skeleton.
What I love about this is that canonically she has shown a high interest in plants.
Yes.
But is like, but big fish
though. But big fish.
And that's pretty spot on it.
Yeah.
And there's no way that Thea would have been able to know this. But the whole time as you were searching around and exploring, there was just a large green tree frog bouncing from tree to tree, just keeping an eye on you as you were checking out this big fish.
Thea feels a warm sense of protection, though she doesn't know from where.
James has been wandering around the island for a little bit. You know, he's got a good half hour. He's taking his time. And, like, bundled up against his arm are a couple of, you know, green plants. He, like, found some that kind of look like the one that Checker showed. He found some other ones that just looked cool. And then over time, it's like, look at this snail shell that I found. Look at this cool translucent rock that I found. And so as he's looking around, it just becomes more of a mishmash of weird and shiny things. But he finds himself actually closer to the shore, maybe on the other side of the island from where we started. He notices something else kind of in the water, just a little loop. He walks over and sees that there is a single fish that's kind of come up and like is trying to get a fly or something that's nearby. James trundles into the water a little bit, takes out one of the little herbs and tries to like wiggle it in front of the fish. And the fish, to his surprise, tries to take the little bit of plant that he gives. And all of a sudden, there's another one. As this is happening, James is marveling at the abundance of fish that have begun to swim around him near the shore. Because he's heard rumors that the island at the center of the Wayless Lake is the reason why there's so much fish here, why there's so much life. There's something about the island, something magical, something enchanting as to why all of these fish are still here. And so seeing all of these fish around him so close to the island is just like, wow, maybe there is something about that.
And for some reason, James does not notice the fact that sitting on top of his voluptuous bowl cut is a little green frog, just keeping an eye out, seeing where James is going.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by A Foul Light Shines, a new free serial novel based on a D&D campaign. The Empire of Fire and Water has known 20 golden years of peace since the end of Aegenion's War, a peace which is now in peril. When a ragtag group of friends intervene in a grotesque monster attack, they're too late to save a wounded man who leaves them with an encrypted journal and the words, "Trust no one, Tyr." Can the gang find Tyr, escape the claws of more strange monsters, and uncover the lurking threat to the Empire before it's too late? This story features themes of found family and strength in diversity, and is available for free on Campfire and Royal Road. A Foul Light Shines. Come for the fantasy. Stay for the cheese-obsessed goblin gunslinger.
Hi, it's me, Sophie. Do you want more Reckless Attack? Then join our Discord and chat with us in our community. The link for the Discord is in the show notes, or head on over to our website, recklessattack.com. We also have a Patreon. You can listen to our new show, Reckless Snack, and other content if you become a patron. We really appreciate your support, and thank you for listening to the episode.
So Checkers is by himself now, as he watches the three kids run off, and he feels a sense of pride, because this actually reminds him a lot about the time that he spent in Lotros, when back then he got associated with a number of orphans there, and he wasn't really intending to at the time. But he ended up teaching them a lot about surviving out in the wilderness, about working together as a group, about taking responsibility for yourself. And he's thinking about that now, about how those children are doing, and about what he's doing right now, watching over a new group of kids. And something just kind of clicks for Checkers, where he realizes that in the beginning, he ran away from this kind of responsibility in his old life, where the burden of leadership was more or less forced upon him. But now that he's kind of looking at it on his own terms, and with a group of people that he surprisingly enjoys spending time with, he's really starting to feel like this might be what he wants to do. And so he goes off in search of Dag with a little pep in his step.
After, I won't say, I think it would be overly generous to assume that all three of these children knew exactly when 30 minutes
yeah.
was.
I had to call a couple of them back.
Yeah, exactly. 30-ish, though. They're pretty good. You guys meet back roughly at the same spot and are carrying between zero plants and a nest of plants. Checkers, you look over for the first time
yes.
Since they have gone, and now are free to judge them accordingly.
All right. Everyone line up. Show me what you got.
Thea will leap into an explanation. She's like, okay, so I don't have that many plants, but I found a giant fish skeleton and brought everyone back a quill from the fin, which I think is pretty cool, and like we should go continue to check that out because that was awesome. But also, I have these. And she picked up green plants. Like, I think they're mostly the ones Checkers is asking yeah. for. But again, could have just a couple random ones in there, too.
Yep.
James presents his pile of stuff and says, "For you, I have a translucent quartz crystal dressed with a seashell aioli.
And next to that is a side salad of green asparagus.
I love that this is the most animated we've ever heard, James, in the history of the world.
James, I don't think you know what any of those words mean.
So they're from the show my mom likes to watch. I don't know what they mean either.
Also,
you cannot. James is excited for once. You have to be excited about this.
Very
I
true.
I cannot handle James like being dejected in any way, shape, or form.
And also, canonically, that there is now a at least weekly, if not daily, cooking show, which, because this is a fantasy world, is a stage production cooking show that also occurs in Agmar that I'm sure we will devote 1 to 5 episodes at some point in the future.
Can it please be like the farmer's market section?
We'll get into it. We'll get a lot of ideas. We can't be selling them on air. IP, TM, TM, TM.
But the side salad is the only part that's green.
Yeah.
And there's like one plant in there.
And Checkers will take the flat rock with the food on it and just like, good job, James. You did well.
So once you see all the kids on the beach there, Dag is actually the last to finally make it back to Checkers. Mostly because he's dragging this thing behind him that kind of looks like a nest that has seen significantly better days. And he's just slowly pulling it. And he stands up next to the nest, puts his hands on his hips, and looks incredibly proud of himself. I found an entire nest made out of those plants!
Dag? I need you to step away from that nest. Come over here.
Leave it on
you
the ground.
You too, Thea. You too, James. Come over here by me.
All right. It's good. We should all take a step back and marvel at the enormity of my nest.
Yes. We'll be able to see the nest very well from over there. Follow me, kids.
As we just hear it.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
All right, move.
One of those shadows comes across.
Absolutely. And you guys, we'll say you head kind of a little bit into tree cover at minimum, a little towards the center of the island.
Once we've finally made it to safety.
Checkers fears no man.
Right.
But he fears birds.
You know, kids, I'm really proud of you. You didn't find very many plants. But you did find adventure.
It was awesome.
That was pretty neat.
And for that, I have a special prize for each of you.
What?
What?
Checkers takes out something from behind his back and starts handing out little gifts to the various kids. Now that you've completed your first mission, you're all official adventurers.
Ooh.
And Checkers hands each of you a little wooden badge with a little frog on it. You're all official members of the Frog Squad now.
You guys, this is so cool.
And you guys see, as James holds up his little frog token, the rare smile on his face. He is just the smallest little smirk. You can tell he is ecstatic.
I imagine there's some kind of stipend that goes along with it.
And as Checkers holds up his own little badge with a frog on it, he also hands out to each of you weapons.
Yes!
Yeah.
Whoa!
If you're going to be adventurers, you got to be ready to fight.
So he hands out to James a set of 2 wooden daggers that he has carved in the time that the kids have been away.
It's important that the listener at home know how David reacted to this, which was very slowly raising 2 fists next to his face. It's like as if it came from like out of the camera frame, like, neat.
Yeah.
2 daggers.
For Thea, he has a sling and a bundle of rocks.
Cool.
And for Dag, he has a goblin-sized wooden sword and shield.
Oh, offense and defense.
Thea immediately starts flinging rocks. Where? Who knows? It's her first slingshot.
Now, while you kids were out looking around, I found the site of our next adventure. There's a cave not too far from here that I was looking to explore with a competent group of adventurers such as yourself.
You heard, ow! As Thea definitely smacked her head in itself in the face.
And then a ka-thunk as it bounces off of Dag's shield.
I don't know what's in there, but I'm hoping this can be the Frog Squad's first mission as a group together. What do y'all say?
Yeah, Frog Squad!
Frog Squad!
I am ready for adventure.
All right, Frog Squad, let's hop to it.
Frog Squad!
And the only thing that can be heard over the cacophony of cicadas and the far shores are the chants of the Frog Squad as you guys go further into the island. After a little bit of walking, you guys come across a stony outcropping. It is a cave mouth, just kind of going almost straight down underneath the surface of the island.
This is like every adventure has this is the start of it. This is the cave. This is the cave for the adventure. This is so cool.
Maybe it's a dungeon with dragons in it.
Maybe there'll be treasure. That'd be cool.
Treasure would be better than dragons.
Well, if we want to find out, we gotta go in there.
Spelunky!
All right, Dag. You've got the shield, so you're gonna go in first.
Ooh.
Thea, keep an eye out. Watch for any danger, and make sure you let us know if you see anything weird, all right?
On it.
James, I need you to stay behind me. You're gonna cover the rear.
I can do that.
Everyone ready?
Yeah!
Let's go!
Dag hoists his shield up and just starts oddly narrating.
As the brave goblin inches forward in the dank dungeon, he doesn't see anything at first. He still doesn't see anything. The nothing continues to be seen.
Checkers.
Yes.
You, despite the inferences that this was a mysterious first spelunk into this cave, you've been here before.
Yes. I would not have intentionally sent these children into danger if I didn't know that this was a perfectly normal empty cave.
Perfectly normal empty cave. Could you just very briefly, though, just to set the scene? It's dark, but actually, I think maybe all of the children have dark vision.
Yeah.
But it's dark, but there is enough sunlight, and, you know, if you guys wanted to light a torch, that sort of thing, I mean, adds a lot of kind of adventurer ambiance to have a torch lit.
Right.
But as you guys descend, what do you guys kind of find? What does it look like in the cave and really the room of the cave that you are going into?
This cave opening opens up into a pretty large room after a little bit of walking. And the kids and Checkers are having to, like, squeeze through a few tough spots. You know, we're trying to get through some rocks and various things. But we find ourselves in this large opening with a bunch of stalactites and stalagmites and pools of water. And you can hear, like, the bats chirping up above. Like, this is the perfect mysterious cave ambiance.
Absolutely. And Checkers, what are you bringing these children into here for? Is it just the experience of going into the cave and kind of like being in the dark and getting them accustomed to it?
Yeah, it's really just trying to get them acclimated, getting them experience with cave delving. Because they're going to be doing a lot more of that, if Checkers has anything to say about it.
They're going to be part of the Frog Squad. Right? They got to be caving.
Right. Yes.
Checkers.
Yes.
You see these three kids who have had the afternoon of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're having a variety of different degrees of enthusiasm and fear of this, but they're here. They're getting comfortable. They're doing these things. They're following you around and are present and are experiencing something that they've never experienced before. And that's always a magical thing to see in a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you've been here before. You know the nooks and crannies of this place pretty well. And you hear the chirps of the bats go a little quiet. It's something that only you notice, and maybe something that only you would notice. As their cries continue to echo around, and then a flutter of wings as a handful of them fly out from where you guys came from. And you catch a faint sound of rocks shifting. Roll me perception check.
24 for perception.
You are able to pick out that these noises is not just one thing echoing around the cave, it is several things that are all making noises. Very quietly, but audibly.
So, Checkers is very surprised by this.
Yes, absolutely.
Because, again, he's been here before. The only thing here, last time he was here, were bats.
Yeah, you could have been here a couple days ago, maybe even. Like, it could have been that soon.
And he didn't notice anything too different mm-hmm. when he first brought the kids in here. So it's a little bit of a surprise. But all of a sudden, the skin on the back of his neck stands up. And he just does a quick look at Mango, and the two of them know what to do next. So Checkers is going to just like grab James and Dag's hand and just pull them behind a rock into cover as Mango wraps his tongue around you, Thea, and pulls you to a different rock.
As Mango yanks the small girl off to the side, you can see this vine snakes out and tries to grab where she just was.
So Checkers isn't exactly sure what's going on, but he's going to do his best. Say, kids, there's something here. Get ready. As he gets all the kids into the best battle stance he can right now.
What? Where? I hear something, but I don't see them.
That plant tried to grab me. Mango saved my life.
I was supposed to be in front.
Not what? Now, Dag.
All around you guys now, you guys can now see these creatures start to move around the cavern as you hear rustle of vegetation and rock as they start to go. And even behind you guys, where the sunlight is still coming down from the entrance, you see one start to drop down tendril by tendril, kind of right behind you guys.
James's hands are shaking. Like, the one that you're holding on to, Checkers, is like actively shaking. And he kind of like peeks out from behind the rock and like just throws the other dagger as hard as he can. It just like flips end over end and just hits the end of the wall. It's like, take that!
Again, this is very surprising, but Checkers is going to take a quick moment to search through his head and see if he noticed and see if he remembers anything about this type of creature or this type of plant that may have grown in here without him looking.
Definitely. And you actually, as a druid, get advantage on this roll.
Nice.
Awesome.
And we'll call it a probably nature roll.
Cool. That is a flat 15 for Checkers.
Okay. You definitely know. These are blights. You might not know exactly what kind of blight, that sort of thing, but they are essentially malevolent weeds
okay.
in the ecosystem. They move in ways that people are still not entirely sure how they get some of the places that they get to. They multiply quickly and then very frequently become very invasive, not just to other plant life, but preying upon mortals and other mammals and that sort of thing. So this is a something that you have seen and dealt with, and you know, like, these are essentially cockroaches of the plant kingdom that have moved in here and are doing something.
This is like, it's surprising, but it's not like immediately deadly.
Correct.
Is the vibe that Checkers is getting.
Yes.
Like, he's not trying to like call for a retreat right now. He's just trying to get the kids organized and like facing the right direction so that they can maybe like whittle some of these plants down.
Absolutely.
So that is what he's going to do. Like, he's going to start calling out orders like, James, pick up that dagger. We got work to do. And he's going to try and just, like, you know, do his best Val impression and, like, explain to the kids, like, these are blights. They're not that dangerous, but you got to be on your guard.
Yeah. And again, these, in D&D terms, these are, like, 1/8 CR creatures. So, like, you as Checkers and Mango would feel pretty confident in your ability to kind of, like, again, you're not like, yes, throw these kids into battle.
Yeah.
But you feel pretty confident in your ability to manage this sort of a situation. Steve, what happens to Dag right now?
So Dag is starting to visibly start to shake a little bit, much like James was, and something wraps around the makeshift shield that Checkers had given him and begins to pull and almost pulls it out of Dag's hand. But Dag is going to hold onto that shield as tight as he can. And Dag remembers that even though it was climbing, Checkers had pointed out that he should use his legs more often than his arms because his legs are just going to be stronger. And so Dag kind of digs his front heel into the dirt in front of him and then pulls back with the vine attached to it.
You actually manage, as you're yanking this back, these creatures are not particularly strong or sturdy, and you seem to have caught them at just kind of the right time, and it actually pulls the blight off the wall and kind of towards you guys, so it's kind of right next to you as it's trying to right itself and reach out its tendrils.
And that gets the blight that you're carrying around just in position for Mango to hop on top of it and squish it into the ground.
Teamwork!
Yeah!
David, what happens to James right now?
James is holding on to his little dagger, and he's trying to find a good position to, like, scout around, maybe flank the weeds in some fashion. He notices all of a sudden that some of the weeds are kind of crawling up to his left, and so he runs around a little bit to try and, like, hide, try and, like, get away from them, and all of a sudden he sees a rock. A boulder that looks a little bit more square. And he thinks back. It's like, I don't know what's happening, but everyone says they couldn't find me. So he runs over to this rock and, like, stands next to it. And all of a sudden, the vines are kind of, like, chasing after him. Just stop and, like, look around.
Yep.
And Checkers stands up toe-to-toe with this blight as he notices where James has run to and all of a sudden calls out, James, now! As he is distracting the blight.
Yeah, James rushes back out from his hiding spot and stabs them.
And there's enough center mass where you are able to just stab into it and something gets stabbed. You're not entirely sure what happens, but it gives a little horrific squeal as you do so.
I really like to just imagine Checkers stabbing it from the other side. I'm like, yeah, James, yeah. Did it!
that's kind of exactly what I was thinking.
Yes, exactly. Sophie, what happens to Thea right now?
Thea is standing in the little alcove that Checkers had put us in, and she's, I think, too frightened to move right now until the vines, like, crawl down right next to her and, like, grab her wrist. And she's panicking a little bit, but then she notices that these vines are made up of, like, a lot of different plants, and she sees one that looks very similar to the ones in the garden before, that if you pick their fruit, they become, like, weaker. And so she just starts ripping through the fruits on this vine that she sees, and she's like, oh my god, Checkers!
And Thea is covered, like, I'm imagining just covered with, like, juice.
Yeah.
Just absolutely as if she had come from a bloodbath, but it is just weird juices.
Yeah, and she's just like, one hand looks completely gross, just covered and it's all sticky. And you can see that this, like, part of the blight is falling apart almost.
And Checkers is in the middle of holding this blight down for James as he looks over at Thea and just goes, nice.
He helps with encouragement. Yeah. Keep doing what you're doing. Yeah. It's really working out for
you. Good job, Thea. You got that one.
Are you sure?
Yeah, keep going.
Okay.
Horrible juice and ichor and child tears of both fear and validation are just absolutely covering the entirety of Thea. Checkers, this continues on for just a little bit. And again, you know, these are kids.
Yeah.
They're not, like, combat proficient, but you are able to, because these things aren't moving very quickly, are able to start kind of carving a little bit of a path back out of the cave.
Mm-hmm. A few seconds into this combat, essentially, Checkers started off very surprised this was happening, but is also feeling, again, a sense of pride that the kids have managed to overcome this challenge. You know, he's helping James, he's encouraging Thea, he's keeping an eye on Dag as he is guiding them towards a path of retreat out of the cave. This might have been a pretty tough first adventure for the kids, but he's like, No, they learned a lot today, and they'll carry this memory with them for the rest of their time on the Frog Squad.
It won't be trauma. It'll be a lesson.
That's right.
Exactly.
Precisely. And you're looking around, feeling good, again, kind of beating not a hasty retreat, so much as a controlled retreat. It's like, good job. Well done. Yes. Oh, throw a rock at that one. Be sure to get that XP before we leave the cave.
Exactly. I want to see you all at level 2 before we go.
Exactly. When something grabs your ankle.
Yeah.
And deeper into the cave, kind of the farthest wall, where you see another vine and tendril has extended out and grabbed you, with several others following hungrily. You remember, there's an alpha blight when these sort of infestations happen. And if you want to take care of these infestations, you have to make sure that the alpha is taken care of. You see this much larger amalgamation of vines, of fruit, start to pull at you and actually pull away from the cavern wall. It is so ingrained there. Like, it has roots so deep already that it actually starts pulling rock away as it just tries to paw at you and the rest of the kids. As it does so, the wall behind it collapses, unveiling something deeper than this cave. But you'll have to worry about that in a minute, because you are absolutely now, there are three vines kind of across you, a leg, a hand, and across your midsection, as this thing has just absolutely struck like a viper. And there are still kids right next to you. What do you do?
So Checkers was not expecting this.
No. Oh, but when I rolled that 20,
right?
Damn it.
Really wish he had paid more attention in Val's lectures.
I was impressed with how much Checkers had paid attention.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Val's lectures.
As Checkers is actively being restrained by all these vines and pulled towards this massive alpha blight, he gives a quick look at the kids and is just like, "This is a bit tough for you all, so I want you to wait outside. I'll be there in just a minute." As another vine just covers his mouth.
Are you sure?
I'll be right there.
I think Thea is too afraid to not follow the direction to get out of the cave.
Yeah, James is gonna start running out of the mouth and is like, "Oh god, we have to go get help. We have to go find someone."
I think as Thea like catches up to James and Dag, she grabs both her hands like, "Yeah, James, we gotta go get help."
"Wait, but I'm supposed to be first."
The three of you take off and you all start to hear more and more kind of pitched combat sounds echoing from the cave, and you guys just keep going. You go back to the spot that you guys were dropped off at, just right on the lake shore, facing the city. You all hear a rumble. And another rumble. And it keeps going until it is more of a pulse. And you all look down at the lake and can see ripples start to pulsate out of it, as if something underneath the island is making this happen. The three of you look out at the waveless lake as it begins to churn and ripple and indeed be wave full. And that is where we'll end this week's episode, everyone. Thank you for listening and see you next week.
Bye. And Checkers reaches into his bag and pulls out what looks like a bundle of weeds.
Say that again with an emphasis on the S.
Yeah.
You have to leave in you correcting him. That's making the final episode. Yeah.
Listen, guys. And he pulls out a bong.
Just a sick doobie.
Yeah. We're going on an adventure, guys.
A psychotropic adventure.
I'm going to sit here and you guys go look for these mushrooms.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.